How about the left of Indiana Studio? Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And I am Christopher Hart. And you are listening to what's going to be, I think, an excellent show tonight because, once again, I have in the studio with me the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. And also we have with us tonight the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel, once again, thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here every time I can be.
All right, and we got Nick LeCicero on the bridge tonight, and of course you can be a part of the show too by calling us at 407-774-8255 and get those phones out ready because we got a contest going. It is Contest Thursday, and Colonel McKnight is going to help us judge this here contest as to who will win it.
I would bet he may even have an idea because I think this is a category he's going to really love.
All right, we're going to get to the contest rules here in just one moment. Don't forget, if you haven't already, please download the free WORL FMAM app into your smart device so that you too may be able to participate in our daily poll question. And also, of course, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere with that device. All right, so speaking of poll questions, Nick, what have we put up tonight?
All right, well, we're going to ask tonight, we're still in a football mode around here, so we're going to ask everybody if they are interested in attending a preseason game at Camping World Stadium, formerly, of course, the Citrus Bowl there in downtown Orlando. Four options for people to choose from. No, not interested in pro football. No, I'd only go if it's a regular season game. Yeah, I'd go if my favorite team was playing. Or yes, I'd go no matter which teams were involved.
Now, remind of one thing, the ticket prices are pretty much near the norm for the season, too. There's no great discount for preseason.
No, that's supposed
to be. That's one reason they move the games.
I was going to say, that's supposed to be a big treat for us here.
I know, that's going to be a real treat. You pay the full ticket price. I, as the ticket holder, don't want to, you know.
That's for sure. And the paper also mentioned today, the Orlando Sentinel mentioned that the Miami Hurricanes actually might be coming to play a football game at the stadium, which, you know, if I had my druthers, I think I'd rather watch a college football game no matter what.
Well, Chris, that was something we were just discussing a couple minutes earlier. Danny, who is a big Florida State fan and a minor Penn State fan, but
no,
he was
not.
Telling me his wife is that but I asked him, I said, Danny, what do you think? What do you enjoy the most? You enjoy a pro game or a college game? I have a definite opinion on that, but Danny, go ahead first.
Well, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. Oof. I love college football. I always have. And being able to go to Florida State games, I think, pretty well says that. I've got 18 years of season tickets now. But it's just more fun going to a college football game. And the pros, I don't know. It's just hard to, because sometimes you see it. Mike, you've lived it. You know it better than I. But you can see it. They're playing for money. They don't play for money in college football. They're playing because they want to win every game.
Right.
You know, that's what it's
school.
All about. That's right. And, you know, I've always loved college football. And I promise you, on Sundays, I do not watch pro football because that's when I take care of either playing golf, I go to church, play golf, cut the grass. I'll do anything. But if I don't see a pro football game on Sunday, Mike, it doesn't even faze me one bit.
But don't bother you on Saturdays, right?
Don't touch me on Saturdays.
You know what? Actually, Danny, that's pretty much my feeling. If the pro game that I want to see on, if it's on at night Sunday after I play golf or did whatever, I'll watch it. But I'm not going
to
alter my day. And I'm a big fan of college football because I love how the alumni embraces their school, the enthusiasm of the crowd. You don't have as many drunks and derelicts in the stands as you do in an NFL game because some of these NFL games – man, that's why I laughed the Super Bowl. And I was telling you, Chris, the time this year, they gave me two tickets, you know, each $3,000 tickets, right? You'd think you'd have a pretty first-class group around you, right? Wrong. Same group, you know, strippers, drunks, everybody. Doesn't matter what the price is. You're with the NFL, baby.
I was going to say, you thought you were back in the Predators game.
I know. Like, yeah, what part of Buffalo am I in, you know?
Yeah, my preference has always been college football as well. And it's just the excitement. Like you said, Colonel, it's a whole different atmosphere.
And, of course, with the Florida State team, there, those home games, even before the game starts, I mean, just the pregame festivities, right? Yeah. What's the Seminole Indian's name that comes out and he plants the spear in the
Chief Osceola.
Chief Osceola. How can I forget?
Chief Obama-Wama. Not likely.
But you know, but what's bothering me now with college football? We're starting to see some of this political correctness get in the way.
Oh boy!
Did you see what they did at Florida State? You know, at Florida State, you know, we're the Seminoles, and they wear, you know, Indian headdress.
Indian headdress.
They have now been told that is not allowed in the stadium. You can't come in because they're afraid we might offend somebody. Oh, give me a break. What are you going to offend? Okay?
But remember,
the Seminoles love us.
Chris,
I know it. They've given actual permission to the school to do that.
Yeah. But there was just a survey taken with the Indian Nation. I guess they went all around the country. They took a survey for the Redskins.
Right.
9 out of 10 of Native Americans said, we are proud to have a team named after us.
Exactly.
This is the idiot that we have as president. Is that disgusting that they could try that to the people at Florida State?
Yeah.
I would have a sign made for him, and it would look pretty bad.
By the way, what was that thing that you told me a little bit earlier about Obama, the little...
I think this really sums up what we were talking about. You know, we talk about the greatness of most presidents, right? And I saw a sign today, and I think this really sums up Obama's term, right? It says... President John Kennedy put a man on the moon. President Obama put a man in the ladies' room. That's about his biggest accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, is he a disgrace?
There's been no real accomplishments, that's for sure. Not on our side, anyway.
No.
All right, well, got a lot of news to get to, but we also have a contest that we're going to be running today. And don't forget, get in on that poll question, and we'll give you an update later in the show and then the final tally before we go off the air tonight. And we will have the full 2 hours on the air. Once again, I believe the Rays are off tonight, but in any case, we do have the full 2 hours on the air, and then, of course, Larry Elder will follow us up. But tonight we are running our politically correct library of street lingo, or should it be politically incorrect?
Yeah.
It should be politically incorrect, right? Library of street lingo.
I mean, you know, your use of the word microaggression, safe place, these are all cute little words that they're trying to put on us, white oppression, all these words. Well, we're going to put some words back to them. Well, my first politically correct word for the right would be the word Obama-esque. Now, what would that mean? Because we want to use it in a sentence to make sure our people sound proper at their next dinner party. Well, Obama-esque means extremely stupid or lacks major thought. How would I put this in a sentence? Well, Mr. Smith, that was an extremely Obama-esque statement. So the next time you're at a party and somebody says something stupid to you, go, John, that was an extremely Obama-esque statement, and we can get this word in circulation. Now, the other one I had, because remember, there's all these initials now, Black Lives Matter, BLM, and all these LBG. Everybody has initials, right? Well, we got initials, too. Ours is BCD, and that stands for Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit. Well, what does it really mean? All it means is if you're truly guilty of something, you've got to push the blame off on someone else. So, how could we use it in a sentence? Oh, the mass murder looks like another BCD action. Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, right? So, for our listeners, you know, come up with your politically correct terminology, and you're welcome to use it in a sentence, because we're going to develop our own library, too.
All right. That's the idea. And you're playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. If you have a Mercedes, nowhere else will you find better care for that car and you while you're waiting on your car than at Jerry's MB. That's jerrysmb.com. You'll also get compliments of Scott Miller, and he will send it to you himself direct, a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And we have another copy of Steve Gushov's book, The Bible and Immigration. So nice prize package for tonight's winner. Okay, before we get rolling into today's news, we have Bob on the line who wants to talk about something we were just now talking about. Bob, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Bob.
Everybody's talking about the Indians, and nobody wants to offend the Indians, so you can't call the Redskins, you can't do this. How come nobody's complaining about Elizabeth Warren going around saying she's an Indian?
Well, we are.
We've complained numerous times,
Trump
Bob.
Is, yeah. But yes, you're right. There's a double standard definitely going on there. And but that's the way they play the game. But that's, you know, that's why we're here.
You know her name, Bob.
Balance that out.
Pocahontas.
Yeah. You know, I think we should change it. You know how it's they say it's Pocahontas? I think we should call her Pocahontas. Us.
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, you make a good point there. It's a valid question, Bob, and but I appreciate you bringing that up.
Hey, as far as that, the contest, you could use the word Hillarack, because Hillary's got your back.
Hillarack.
Hillarack. Yeah, that's
Hillarack.
Hillarack.
Got your back, yeah.
Hillary's got, yeah.
I got your back just like Hillary does.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Okay, Bob. Yeah, I'm not counting on you, buddy.
So that's the whole idea.
Yeah, no, I got it.
That's the whole idea.
That would be a good one, yeah. We could use that in a sentence at a party, yeah.
So, Colonel McBath, sorry, Colonel McKnight, if you were in a situation where you had, say, UN troops there to support you, you would say that those are Hillarack troops there, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That would fit perfectly, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Good for nothing.
That's right. That would fit perfectly, yep.
All right.
That's good, Hillarack.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's take Tim's contest entry. Tim, thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Johnny.
Obama stole my word last night, but I'm going to say okie doke.
Okay, he did. That's right. He did. He was in reference to Trump.
Okie doke.
Oh, I don't know how you spell that, but that's okay. Okie doke.
Okay.
What does it mean?
And using it in a sentence, I would say, I think Obama has okie doked the world.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good. Yeah.
And that means to play you as a fool.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah.
Play you as a fool.
Play as a fool. Yeah, I like that one.
But, Chris, I'm going to send you a text message here, and it will have the official Urban Dictionary terms.
Okay.
All right.
The ones we probably can't use on here.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Thank you, Tim.
Correct.
All right.
You might be want to substitute a word, but you could not use it on the air.
Tim, that almost hurts me, though, because I grew up in the South, and I learned talking okie-dokie was okay.
Yeah, okie-dokie.
No, I do remember that. Okay. When I was a kid, we used that word, right. Okie-doke.
Yeah. But okie-doke is a separate word.
I got you, Tim.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you in the contest. All right, thanks a lot. All right, we appreciate it. All right, okie doke. Yeah, okie doke. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll continue the show with Colonel McKnight and your contest entries, and we will take them right up until the last few minutes
big
of the show.
Big prizes, T-shirts.
We'll choose a winner tonight, too. Yep.
Yeah, I did. I grew up saying okie doke.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. I'll give you a little bit of everything all at once, too, sometimes. All right, you're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we got Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio with us tonight. And, of course, we're running our politically incorrect Library of Street Lingo contest. So if you want to get in on that, please pick up your phone and call us at 407-774-8255. We already have two contest entries in by Bob and Tim. And yeah, Tim, you're right. Can't say that on the air.
Oh, we already sent it though.
Yeah. Okay. There's some breaking news this afternoon. You may have heard during the news breaks, and we don't have a whole lot more details than what you might have heard already in the news break. And there was the crash of a Blue Angels jet today at the Air Force Academy, where the president happened to be speaking, and presumably the Air Force Blue Angels were doing some sort of demonstration flyover, which is not unusual. And one of the aircraft evidently had a problem. And as far as we know, the pilot ejected. This was actually, one person has died. But we don't really know much more than that. Don't know who died. I think that we did have confirmation that the pilot had ejected. But once again, we're watching this story. Blue Angels jet and an Air Force Thunderbird crashed Thursday in separate incidents.
Yeah.
One in Tennessee and one in Colorado. The one in Tennessee, evidently a person on the ground died near Smyrna, Tennessee. And these are both F-16s, and the Blue Angel F-16 crashed south of Colorado Springs after an Air Force Academy commencement ceremony attended by President Obama. And we've discussed the lack of funding for our military in the terms of training and equipment maintenance and that sort of thing. And I think you've even expressed concern that this sort of thing might happen and be caused by that. Now, we don't know why these jets crashed today, but these are the top line. Right? Blue Angels and
Blue
Air
Angels,
Force Thunderbirds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's
hard to believe
do.
It would be human error.
That's what they do.
Yeah, hard to believe it would be human error, and hard to believe it would be maintenance error. Unless.
I don't think it's human error. The guys and gals, because they fly both. Both of them fly for Blue Angels and Thunderbirds. They're too good. You don't get to go there until you have achieved many other things before that to get that opportunity. So I don't believe it was human error. I believe it has to be related to one of two things. It has to be either maintenance related or weather related. I don't know what the weather was like there in either case. Probably in Colorado it's pretty nice. It usually is, you know, especially this time of year. And I haven't heard of any weather really around Tennessee that would have caused that. And I don't think they would take a chance to go up in bad weather.
Right.
But that's the two things I think it would be, either weather-related or maintenance-related. I do not think it's human error.
Last week off of North Carolina, remember, there was two F-18 Hornets that went down. They crashed into each other.
Yeah.
That's four planes in like a week.
Well, and we know that because of the budget cuts to the military, not only have there been troop cuts and cutbacks in equipment programs, but there's also been cutbacks, as we just said, in maintenance. There's been also cutbacks in training.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have cutbacks in those areas, this is what you begin to see more and more of.
And another aspect of that is we have had a lot of those great professionals that fly the F-18s that you were talking about that crashed into each other. And I think what you're seeing maybe happening is the ones that were the old seasoned veterans that were flying, they left. They're gone. They said no more. Yeah. And I think we might have a lack of training for the newer ones coming on. Not that they're not well trained, but you got to be better than just well trained to do what they do.
They have cut their hours down. I read about that on all these fellows. I mean, substantially. So imagine the risk element it throws in because of practice. Practice makes perfect.
Exactly right. So I think the things that we're seeing are associated with lack of training, lack of assets, lack of resources, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think it's that it's bad piloting. I think it's the things associated with that, though.
And even if it were a pilot error, it could be attributed to the fact they're not getting the flight hours that they normally. And this is high precision flying here.
Absolutely, yes.
And so there's not much room for error, if any. No. So, we got some more contest entries, but guys, we're already at the end of this segment, so we'll hold you through the break. We'll get right to your phone calls on the other side of the break. If you'd like to get into tonight's Street Lingo Contest, our politically incorrect library of street lingo that we're starting here. Give us a call at 407-774-8255. We come back, we'll get back to some other things in the news today, including Hillary Clinton. And I think this one goes down. You remember that old saying when you were a kid, takes one to know one?
I know.
Did you ever say that?
I know. Doesn't it sound like that? I know.
Well, in Hillary's case, takes one to know one, Hillary. I'll tell you what we mean when we get back. You are listening to the American Adversaries as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Ford Road. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Christopher Hart here, along with Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army. And, of course, we invite you, if you've not already, to please join the American Adversaries Army by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, our brand new website. And you'll go to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there. It's real easy to do. All right. And also, the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, is in the studio with us as well. And we're running a contest today. It is Contest Thursday. And John has got a contest entry. And, John, thank you for holding. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
I knew John would be in this.
Yeah, it's going to be good,
too. My first word here is illegitizen.
Illegitizen.
Oh, that's pretty good. Illegitizen.
An illegitizen is anybody illegal receiving benefits from the state or federal government that most Americans don't.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
We could start
using that in conversation.
All right, I'm writing this down. Illegitizen, illegals receiving benefits citizens can't. Is that it?
Yeah, and I can use it in a sentence.
Go ahead.
Illegitizens are probably adding 10 to 15 billion annually to the American deficit.
Oh, that's for sure.
That's
not to be outdone by Mike, my three little initials are going to be PUD, P-U-D. That would be a politically uninformed Democrat.
That's good. See, that's what we need, a great library for people to be referenced to, you know, so we can fire back and pull our book out at a party. Well, take a look at mine.
I love it. All right, John, once again, you set the bar really high. That's
well,
great
that was
stuff.
Good, PUD. That's real good. Yep,
all right.
Yep.
God bless.
Thank you, John. And same to you. And John is a member of the American Adversaries Army. So once again, please join by going to AmericanAdversaries.com.
I like both of them.
Yeah, they've all been good so far. Okay, we have Roger on the line, and Roger, are you a pilot? Is that what is telling us here?
No, I was an A-10 pilot.
You were an A-10, the Warthog pilot, huh?
Yes, sir. And from here, but missing my crew chief in A-10 was a crew chief on the Thunderbirds, and they had an accident one year where they're in five abreast of the loop, and what the slap or the tail froze up on the lead, and all five formation.
All five crashed.
All five. Oh. You're not looking anywhere else when you're in that tight of formation.
Right. Yeah.
Because stuff like that happens. I also had two of my buds from A-10s over in Europe. They ended up in the Thunderbirds, and had a party in Daytona Beach when they were down for the air show, and they were laughing because one of the guys got a can of white spray paint for Christmas because he kept scraping wingtips with lead.
Oh, boy.
That's how close they are.
They are. They're trading metal, so to speak. Trading paint, as they say in NASCAR.
Yeah, what you see in the accident today, the guy probably had a malfunctioning aircraft. A lot of people don't know that F-16 is a fly-by-wire aircraft. Any kind of electronic malfunction or anything, the airplane, you basically become a passenger instead of a pilot. That's when you bail out.
Are you particularly concerned with the budget cuts like what we've been talking about? It's cut back on the flight hours and the maintenance of these aircraft?
Well, it's not only that, but it's crew. My poor nephew just got sent on his third remote tour in 6 years. They're short of personnel from top to bottom. They're offering $250,000 to $500,000 for pilots to come back to the Air Force. Not to stay in, but to come back, and they're all sitting there in their airline job, going, "Why?"
Yeah, John, they wouldn't have left. They wouldn't have left
this Colonel McKnight, they wouldn't have left if they had been given the right things to deal with in the first place. And I know you know that because we got the greatest aviators in the world, and you know that very, very well. And we always have, but we've got things happening now that's causing this, and it's ridiculous what we've done to our air forces and naval people that fly, et cetera. It just serves me beyond belief.
Roger, are you still there? Oh, no. Did we lose Roger?
I think he was on himself.
Okay. They were paying him bonuses now to re-enlist.
Yes.
Did we get any information, the contact information from him? Roger, if you can hear us
now. If you're
now,
flying around somewhere, Roger, well, ground control to Major Tom.
No, seriously, Roger, if you will call back, I'd love to send you one of our American Adversaries T-shirts, sort of our set of wings for you, if you will. So, Roger, if you would call back and give us your address, we'll get you one of our T-shirts in the mail there.
But he did quickly confirm pretty much what we were talking about. It's not pilot error that's causing this.
Right.
It's the ability for the planes to fly like they're supposed to. And the pilots sometimes can't do a thing about it. Like you said, they become a passenger instead of a pilot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And of course, him being an A-10 Warthog pilot, you know.
That's what I wanted to say to him, thank him, and talk about that briefly, because we've done away with the A-10s. You know, they're in the mothballs and all that stuff.
Phased them out.
The greatest tank killer we ever had was the A-10. And everybody would tell you that. The Marines, the Army, they say, no, we knew every time the A-10s were coming, they were going to get it done. Yeah, they're not fast, but they didn't have to be fast. They were good at what they did. And I would love to have a comment from him on that. I think that was devastating what they did with the A-10s.
And they were also very tough aircraft. You
exactly.
could fill them full of holes, and they'd still fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, it took brave pilots and skilled pilots to fly those things, mm-hmm. obviously, because mm-hmm. they're flying right into the teeth of,
Well, without a doubt. I mean, Danny, do they mothball them where they could be brought back, or they just strip them?
Well, they're sort of put right now. They're just sort of put away.
Mm-hmm.
They could be probably brought back. Look at what we've done to the Navy. The
right.
Navy have, dry docked so many ships,
that,
even if you want to get them back, it's going to take a tremendous effort to get them back and refit and ready to go again. And you can't do that overnight. So the new president, not Hillary, the new president is going to have a big challenge, because we've got to get that stuff back in place, because we are so weak in terms of our ability compared to what it was 10 years ago.
All right. Well, you just brought up the subject matter that I wanted to go there anyway. Hillary gave a big speech today. Now, I didn't see it. It was in San Diego, I believe, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes, it was.
And it was a speech where she was going to, quote unquote, lay out her foreign policy and attack Trump all at the same time. And her attacks on Trump are, as I said earlier, it's sort of, takes one to know one type thing. She calls him a fraud.
I mean, I would never use that term. She's so vulnerable, like we've talked about. I mean, I would, and he's going to jam that back on her, like she's going to regret that day for sure.
She makes the argument that he's not qualified to be commander-in-chief. I want to turn the question to you this way, and we can get to that, too. We can discuss him as well, but I want to put it to you first. Is she qualified to be commander-in-chief, Colonel McKnight?
She ain't even close to being qualified. She couldn't even be the Secretary of State. When things got a little tough in Benghazi, what did she do? She was unavailable for 5 hours, And see, that to me alone right there shows she is not competent to be the president of the United States of America. No. Has nothing to do with her being a female. It has to do with it's Hillary Clinton and what she has done to our country. Okay? I mean, it's unbelievable. And if she was to become president, I better not say it on air.
Imagine, Danny, all the lies she has directly told America, all the stories like Obamacare and everything that she supported, knowing they were absolute lies. How could any military people follow this person as a leader? I think this would be so discouraging. I don't think she's going to be elected, but, I mean, she's definitely disqualified just on trustworthiness alone. She is a liar. And that's what she is. That's it.
I mean, we've shown that with the email thing.
Because once they get into the foundation, she's a thief, And that's why I know Trump's going to be working on that, because to sit there in that room the other day and have these reporters ask him the name, you know, what charities did you give it to? How much did you give it to? Mr. Reporter, have you asked Hillary Clinton? Go read the book Clinton Cash. You know, what are the people you dealt with? What countries are they from? What was your relationship with? They don't ask any of this. Why don't you let the American public know? Because we can end her run for president right off the bat if they're, you know, if they're aware of all the things
involved. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't care, because
it's
the nature of politics. It's why I say politics is like professional wrestling. A lot of people like the nastiest of the wrestlers, but that's what we got going on here, basically, right? But no, she's not qualified. She wasn't there with the 3 a.m., which actually came in the afternoon, in the evening, phone call. And you're right, she was. We've seen the emails that were being sent. Would you please, somebody, just answer the phone?
That's right.
Was the essence of the emails? Mm-hmm. Please, just pick up the phone. I mean, it is so ironic. And then, of course, she's out there making that case. And then there's the Libya thing, not just Benghazi, but the whole, you were on the show prior to Libya, you were talking about Libya, you were saying, we better think about what we're doing here, what are we going to do after Gaddafi, right? And they were trying to say, we're not in a, how did they put it, we're not in a, they had some fancy way of saying, we're not in a dynamic engagement or something like that with Libya, and because we didn't have boots on the ground, and you were saying, yeah, but we're dropping bombs on them. I mean, what's the difference, right? We're at war with Libya. Mm-hmm. We're bringing down Gaddafi. And look at Libya now.
They're worse off than they were. You know, I've said it all along when that happened. You know, Ronald Reagan put Gaddafi in his place when he dropped a bomb in his living room. We never had a problem with him after that, did we? You know, Gaddafi wasn't a great man, don't get me wrong. You know, I wouldn't want to be there in the country with him. But at least he controlled what went on. You got to at least say that. When he left, what have we got? We've got a disaster in Libya. And where did some of the people come from that ended up fighting in places like Benghazi, Libya, Yemen? That's where they come from. You know, both ends. Have we done anything about that? Not a thing.
No, we haven't. And by the way, we facilitated a war crime, because when they dragged Gaddafi out of that culvert or whatever it was and ended up shooting him in the head, that was a war crime, right? And we facilitated it.
But did we do much better in helping Egypt?
No.
Yeah,
we walked on
the Muslim Brotherhood takes over in Egypt, right?
Yep. Right.
Well, of course, I'm sure Obama was thrilled to death that that was. But they're suffering too. Everything that he's touched in time has gone to garbage. Every one of them.
But you know, in particular, when it comes to Libya, Obama didn't want to do it. It was the three women. It was the three stooges, if you will. It was Hillary Clinton, Cheryl Mills, and Susan Rice, who promoted that Libyan policy. Right. And they also wanted to arm the rebels in Syria, which is what I believe they were doing through Benghazi. And her policies have created a disaster in the Middle East.
And you know, you mentioned Susan Rice. What a worthless human being. I mean, come on. Has she done? They move her from job to job because they just want her to stay somewhere, and she keeps screwing everything up.
She's a loyal liar.
Yes.
Danny, even at the Air Force Academy today, when our wonderful president was speaking, he talked about the Syrian children and how he sees them just like his own. Well, geez, you just used that phrase a while back, and you didn't cross the line. What, about 200,000 of them died? And you have the audacity to make a statement like that? You see them like your own?
Well, just like
his... And then the other thing, too, is, you know, he just never seems to realize his statements. This was he also said the same statement in reference to illegal immigrants back in 2012. You know, they're like looking in the eyes of his children.
Yeah.
Well, there's two groups of children you've looked in the eyes, and you really haven't done a very good job resolving the problems of each.
And there's one more you got to remember. When Trayvon Martin happened,
that's right.
He made
was
the comment,
today,
if I
too.
Had a son, he'd be just like Trayvon mm-hmm. Martin.
Yeah.
And see, that's personal to us here because we're in this part of Florida where right. we live and everything.
Right.
That we know better.
Yeah, well, definitely. And, you know, these comments like about his daughter.
Right.
I wonder if, say, his daughter had gotten herself a job at the State Department and had gotten this really cool gig over in Benghazi, Libya. And lo and behold, there was an attack. Do you think that they would have stopped at anything to get military people over there to rescue his daughter? Do you think for 1 minute that they wouldn't have, you know, open the doors of heaven and hell both.
That's right.
To stop whatever was going on
that's
over
right.
there to get that daughter out of that situation. Well, that's the same responsibility that he has for every single United States American citizen that he puts in a situation like that. He has the same. Christopher Stevens was, at that moment, Barack Obama's son, if you will.
Sure.
Because he had every responsibility, he owed every bit of responsibility to Christopher Stevens and Sean Smith and Doherty and others that he would have owed to his daughter.
And that's absolutely correct.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yep. But there's two different categories, you know that.
Yeah, well, all right.
Yeah, we know that.
All right, Christopher Stevens, back of the bus with you, buddy. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
I got a fever and inflammation, that's what I got. You turn the heat on me, some like it hot.
Oh, yeah. Maryland, baby.
Some like it hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot this Sunday at Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. And you are invited to the premier grand opening and celebration of Marilyn Monroe's would have been her 90th birthday, which was actually yesterday.
Yeah.
But the celebration is this Sunday from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. And it's just east of... Dean Road on Aloma. It's real easy to find.
And Frank supposedly may be there.
Yeah, Frank's going to be there. Frank Sinatra. Marilyn herself is going to make an appearance there. And you are invited from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday. Going to be free food and beverages, door prizes. They're going to give you samples of what they do there with hair and nails and massages and all kinds of stuff. Things I can't even pronounce. And for you listeners only, you can get a special treat by texting MM Radio to 71441. That's MM Radio to 71441. The celebrating the premier grand opening of the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa is being brought to you by Lisa Chrisman. And once again, the spa is located just east of Dean Road on Aloma. All right, that's out there Oviedo way.
It's a separate building, too. Plenty of parking.
Yep,
which is,
lots
really
of parking.
Good for her.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. So you are invited. In the meantime, we have James on the line. James, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, thank you. I don't know how to follow Marilyn Monroe.
do you look as nice as her, James? Depending who's looking at you right now.
You know, the problem I hear is you just mentioned it, Chris, about accountability, having skin in the game. If President Obama's daughter or nephew or cousin was involved with Benghazi, you know, heaven and earth would have been moved for that. I just feel like Congress and anybody that's in the office need to have involved.
Yes, I appreciate it. We get the gist of what you're saying, but we got a really bad connection with you there, James. I appreciate it. But, yeah, and there's no accountability for these people, I think, also is what James is trying to say. A lot of times they get away with it. But in the end, we hope that we can make them accountable for it.
A lot of
that's up to us as voters.
That's right. The accountability is when we vote. That's why voting is so important. And it's so important that people remember what she has done to the American public, our armed forces, you know, everybody out there. And then that's how you eliminate these people from politics. It's time for them to retire. Let's give them our own term limits.
Colonel?
accountability that hadn't existed in politics for a long, long time, in my opinion. And you can go back to October of 1993 if you want to talk about a lack of accountability.
Yeah.
And because President Clinton, the male part, being the president, there was no accountability. There was nothing to say, well, yeah, we messed up, and not us. We didn't give them what they, you know,
needed to do the job.
I mean, we cut back 100 people just before we leave. They take the AC-130. They didn't say anything about that afterwards, you know. All Bill Clinton wanted to do then was get out of there. Well, he was in his first term, you know, first year of his first term,
right?
You know, and I personally think he should have never had a second term. I ain't figured out how he got one, because if they had been accountable, they would have found out that he was not accountable. He didn't even really do anything after that associated with living up to, yeah, we made a mistake. Our people, his people, did not support us like they were supposed to. We've seen the same thing going on in Benghazi. We see the same thing going on today in Afghanistan. And you know, what are we doing over there? We got 9,000 soldiers roughly still there, but we're not letting them do anything, you know? And then we, you know, bomb Syria, you know? Where's the accountability for when we bomb a hospital? I don't hear him say, you know, that we made a mistake. There is no accountability. They don't even know how to spell that word. It's unbelievable how bad it is.
You know, I see a politically incorrect phrase or word in there somewhere.
Oh, Chris, your mind is working now. Are you ready to throw in?
There's got to be a word that fits that.
There's something there, right.
That fits that, what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but perhaps one of our listeners will come up with it for our contest tonight.
I like
but
PUD, what he threw out there, PUD, P-U-D.
Politically uninformed Democrat. Yeah, perhaps somebody could come up with the same sort of thing for what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
That's our contest for tonight, and we got a few entries, but we're looking for some more. And give us a call at 407-774-8255 is our politically correct, or we should say incorrect, library of street lingo.
Right.
And like John, who came up with PUD, P-U-D, politically uninformed Democrats, also came up with the word illegitizen.
That was very good,
I
too.
Like that.
Illegitizen.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a word that applies to what John was talking about. Yeah.
It covers a lot. Yeah.
And the definition? An illegitizen is any illegal receiving benefits that citizens don't get.
I'm going to use that. I think that's such a great word to use in descriptive cases.
All right. So our
group from LIFA would love that.
Indeed. And by the way, they'll be joining us on Sunday nights.
Okay.
But it's okay. So 407-774-8255 is the number for that. And by the way, Colonel McKnight has written a book where he details a lot of what he was just talking about. It's called Streets of Mogadishu. And you can get it by going to his website, DannyMcKnight.com, and he'll also autograph that and personalize it for you. That's Streets of Mogadishu, and I cannot recommend this book highly enough. This is a must-have book. This not just a must-read. It is a must-have book. And if you have young people in your life, especially if they're in like high school or college age and they're looking to begin to become young adults and make adult decisions, they need to read this book. Streets of Mogadishu. That's DannyMcKnight.com. And,
The subtitle, don't forget. Leadership at its best, talking about in the streets. Political correctness at its worst, talking about the White House.
We'll be back with more of the show. Contest tonight. That's right. Our politically incorrect library of street lingo. That's right. We're building up our gloss, our thesaurus here.
Yeah.
Anyway, You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We are coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. We'll be here the full hour. The Rays, I believe, are off tonight at any rate. They won't be interrupting our show. And then, of course,
plus, they won't lose. They're undefeated tonight. I'm proud of the guys.
Yeah. And Larry Elder will be coming on after us. And, man, he's all over the place. Yeah. I saw him on Fox Business Channel this morning when I got up.
Yep.
And, okay, and that is Mike McBath. I am Christopher Hart. We also have in the studio with us the Commanding General of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. And we were talking about the Benghazi affair. I had asked the colonel if Hillary was qualified to be president, because she's out there making the case, or trying to make the case, that Trump is not. And, of course, she's even less qualified than he is. She has disqualified herself, I believe is how
right
you put
word,
it, right?
Disqualified. There is no qualified.
She has disqualified herself because of her actions and lack of good, sound judgment, right?
She's probably the most unworthy candidate ever in the history of our country running for president. And she is probably the most unworthy, because she doesn't have a clue.
And, you know, we haven't talked about her little liaison, if you will, with the Iranians, right? Because, you know, this nuclear deal didn't just happen when John Kerry took over the reins. That was in the works for quite some time, was it not, Colonel?
Oh, absolutely. Pretty sure she made a visit over there that we don't know about, or we're not supposed to know about.
To Tehran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that, you remember when she had the concussion thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She had a concussion, all right, when that little plane crash that she was in. But we didn't hear about that, did we? I'm sorry. Y'all didn't know that. Let me share that with
Danny,
you.
Danny, wouldn't you like to see the list, too, of her foundation givers? Oh. I mean, you know, there's numerous Arabs and Persians on there.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we sit here. Why don't you, the media, go out and get it? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Well, they're too busy chasing down Trump's tail, right? All right. We got some callers on the line. We got David up first. David, thank you for calling tonight.
Hello. Yeah, this is David.
Being there, David. We appreciate it.
Yeah, first time caller. I just found y'all on the station. Thought I'd give a call in.
Well, thank you. I hope you like the show.
All right.
Well, I do.
Excellent.
That's why he called in.
Excellent. Thank
you. Anyways, what I was calling in for, I was sitting in my living room about 20 years ago with my wife watching Fox News, and this is why this little bee that's running for president doesn't have a driver's license, because I watched it live on Fox News. If you get the information, a lot of people saw it on TV. I've talked to a dozen people around Orlando who have. Hillary Clinton drunken drive and ran over, killed a D.C. traffic cop, seen the camera right in her face.
Oh, boy.
Live on TV.
Wow. Well,
go ahead.
That'd be great if you knew the station. I don't know. I mean, that's like saying, can you remember that far back? But, boy, I would be on the phone.
It
was on Fox News.
It was
around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. My wife and I'll even take any lie detector test anyone wants to give to me. My wife will, too.
Twitter it over to Trump.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know how to do all this Twitter. I barely know how to use a cell phone.
Hey, David, I'm right there with you, bud. Okay. Yeah.
Me, too.
I've advanced to Twitter.
Trump's got my vote. I'll tell you another little story here. How about take 39 years to get my military records? They owe me 42 years of back pay where I'm standing now.
Is that right? Wow.
I'm one of those veterans that they don't want to do anything with. It took 39 years to get my military records.
So you got them after 39 years, David?
Yeah, now it's turned over to a lawyer. I can't trust the DAV or the VA to do a damn thing for me, so I had to turn it over to a lawyer.
I can't really argue with that what you just said either, because I'm very disturbed by the VA, et cetera, as you are as well.
Fifteen years ago, I broke their MRI machine, because I forgot I got shrapnel all inside me, so I broke the damn thing at the VA hospital.
You took shrapnel.
Yeah.
Where at? What?
That's a NAM.
I see.
Well, David, if you're dealing with the VA and or anything else, and you need some support, give me a call. Okay, I kid you not.
And who am I speaking to again?
Colonel Danny McKnight.
Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate it.
I have a website, DannyMcKnight.com. Really really interesting, huh? Pretty easy, DannyMcKnight.com. You go to that, you'll see my emails on there, my home phone, my cell phone. you're welcome to get in touch with me if I can do anything to help you, okay?
I'm running my truck to try to write this down right now.
Well, and David,
I just got off work. I'm an old plumber.
Well, David, if you will, do this. If you'll stay on the line and give your information to Nick, we'll contact you and make sure you got everything you need, okay?
I'll stay on line.
All right.
All right,
thank
David,
you, David.
Thank you for your service, man.
Absolutely. God bless you. And thank you for calling. And hopefully you'll continue to listen. All right. And let's get some contest entries in. We got Al, Ed, and Danny lined up. Al, you are up first, sir.
Yes, sir.
How do you do?
All
hey,
right,
by the way, congratulations.
Michael Medved, brother, we heard you.
Yeah, man, you were good. I thought you made your case very well.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I had to put Medved in his place again.
Yeah, I thought you did a pretty good job of it, too. And he kept you on for quite a while, so I thought he appreciated your phone call.
Yeah. All right, well, I got an entry for tonight's contest.
Lay it on us.
All right, so usually when someone is acting idiotic or obnoxious or, you know, if you just want them to be quiet, you tell that person to shut up.
Right.
You know, and you can pretty much use that universally based on those examples I gave you.
Correct.
But we don't have one that's specific. And we need one that's specific to someone who's acting like a utter buffoon.
I think I know where he's going. Go ahead.
A complete idiot.
All right. So what is that word?
So you tell him to shut the Trump up.
We knew where that was coming out.
I saw that one coming. Shut the Trump up. All right. I like that, Al. And once again, keep those calls coming and going. We appreciate it. I love listening to you on the Medved Show, too. All right. Thank you, Al.
Chris, did you hear that I was afraid he was going to say Trump you?
Well, you know, I was going to do that.
You know
that.
What I mean? Okay.
What?
You're eliminated. That was on TV earlier today. I'm sorry. You're out. Trump you.
I was going to tell you, it's the obvious one, right?
That would be a good bumper sticker, too. You know, if you don't like Trump, Trump you. That'd be great.
Okay, let's see what Ed has to say. Ed, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being there.
Hey, great show as usual, guys.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate
it.
The politically incorrect term is Clintonians. And Clintonians I describe as hordes of bureaucratic beasts. These hordes of bureaucratic beasts are sort of like the Night of the Living Dead. They just keep walking at you, and they keep wanting things, and they keep wanting more and more and more of your money and more of your taxes. And I describe bureaucratic beasts as six and beasts, ungodly people ruling through paper-pushing confusion. So these Clintonians are just keeping coming at us, and they're making more and more and more of them. There are over 4 million Clintonians.
That sounds like the real case.
And they've taken over the Pentagon, too. I mean, this is
Night
great.
Of the Living Dead. That I can is, see it.
Yeah, it's like the Clintonians and the Night of the Living Dead, man. They keep coming, these bureaucratic beasts, these ungodly people that just keep rolling through paper pushing confusion are just coming at us. They won't stop.
And it's kind of like no matter what you do, they just keep multiplying.
I know.
Keep on watching. Watch that show. That's what it reminds me of.
Talk about a guy who gets fired up about his idea, man.
Well, The Walking Dead on TV, you know, you have to do something to kill them.
Yeah,
so
man.
Maybe we got to look at that, huh?
Piece, keep on coming.
That's
nice
right.
To you, man.
That would be a good one-hour TV show.
We're going to have that, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good one.
That's
wow.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thank you,
Clintonian, coming for you. We're coming to take you away, ha-ha.
All right, very good.
That was good. That's a tough one.
All right, we got another one with Danny. Danny, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Hey, amigos.
Howdy,
hey,
doody.
Danny.
How you doing?
All right, so this word has two parts to it. The first part is the definition. The word is freakazoid, and that is any human being that changes their physical appearance to look like the opposite sex.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
And the thing about that word is that there's an animated character named after that, which is supposed to be the hero of Washington, D.C.
the hero of Rock Washington, D.C. That fits about right. That's about right. All right. That's another great one.
That is good. Yeah,
I like that. All right, Danny, thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling. That's the idea, folks. Those are the sort of things we're looking for, and somebody's going to win that $20 gift certificate.
Maybe it'll go down in infamy because they'll appear in a dictionary because the PC words, you know, libraries and everybody are picking this up, you know. So maybe we got a big time winner here.
I can see Trump making a little like one of these internet videos, you know, about 5 minutes long, the attack of the Clintonians.
No, right. I mean, think about that, Chris. You have signs up here like healthcare, and you see the hand going up, you know what I mean? And taking away your retirement, hand goes up, you know, taking away personal responsibility, hand goes up. They all go into the Clintonians. But he has a good show. Great potential on that show.
I believe so. I do believe so.
That would be great.
All right, 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to get in on the contest or if you'd like to get in on the conversation here tonight. And by the way, we do have Colonel Danny McKnight in with us. And Streets of Mogadishu is the name of his book. You can get it by going to his website that he just mentioned, DannyMcKnight.com. We talked about Hillary not being qualified to be president of the United States. What about a fellow by the name of Barack Obama? Is he qualified to be commander-in-chief?
Come on, Chris. Yeah, come on.
Seriously.
See, when you get personal, they're calling him commander-in-chief. He hasn't been the commander-in-chief for 7-plus years.
What in particular is he lacking in being a good commander-in-chief?
The willingness to do the hard right thing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
Probably found that in my book somewhere, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not willing to do the hard right thing. He does the easy wrong, okay? He does so many things that are wrong because it makes it easy for him. And you look at some of the things that have happened. Look at what happened in Ferguson. What did he do? He didn't do the hard right thing and support the law enforcement community at all.
He supported the other. Yep.
You know? And he's done that time after time. I mean, with Trayvon Martin was the beginning of it. And that's all. We never hear him say blue lives matter, which blue lives are the ones that matter most to me right now because they're the ones that are really taking the punishment out there. That's not our law enforcement community. Are every one of them perfect? No, there's no such thing. But to not recognize how important they are to the safety of our country, and he doesn't seem to get that. He's more concerned in the other. I'm concerned, too. Because it's not just blue, it's blue, black, everything in our country that are American citizens matter. And he doesn't seem to get that. He wants to just focus on one aspect of it, and unfortunately, it has taken our country apart.
You know, and it has from the very start. You know, I thought, and I did not vote for Barack Obama. But I thought that
I wouldn't be here.
Sorry, we'd be walking out the door.
but you have to admit that he had an opportunity to be a great president because being the first black man or woman as president of the United States, he could have done a whole lot to heal the country. Instead, he has ripped open old wounds and then poured salt in them. Right? To make it even worse.
Absolutely.
And then he goes around saying one of his biggest regrets is he wasn't able to do what I just said he had the opportunity to do.
Who kept him from it? Nobody.
Himself. Because, as you said, he made the easy wrong choice instead of the hard right choice. And it started, you mentioned Ferguson, but it actually, I believe, all goes back to that
Harvard's college professor.
Thank you.
And
he totally jumped into the conversation.
He said, sometimes the police do stupid things.
Yeah. Right.
It was stupid for the cop to try to protect a man's property. Not knowing that it was the man, but
but he was climbing through a window.
You would think, you know, if you were the person in that situation, you would have been appreciative to the law enforcement officer because he was trying to protect you.
Yeah, exactly right.
But no, he did the other thing. He took the easy political goal. You see, he took the easy political gain. He has done that the whole way. Rather than doing the hard thing, which is to stand up and tell the people who support you, that, look, sometimes we're wrong, and sometimes we must stand up and admit it and say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very good at apologizing for other people, but never, lo and behold, for the people who need scolding and need to be, you know, treated in that fashion. Oh, no. And so, yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, you hit the nail on the head that he oftentimes makes that easy, always, as a matter of fact, makes that easy wrong choice instead of doing the hard right thing. Because the hard right thing means that people that now like you may not like you after you do that.
But if it's the right thing, do it. You know, but he doesn't get that one. He doesn't get it.
The other thing, too, is, I mean, look at him now, right? He's going around speaking to all the academies, all the commencements. You know, we have a job problem, Mr. President. We have a military problem, Mr. President. Well, we have a budget problem, Mr. President. What are you doing? This is a vacation for the next 5 months.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Once again, he's doing the easy thing.
Right, but it's
he's denying
just so irresponsible.
All of that. He's denying all of that.
Oh, I know. He's the one
of
the greatest.
He was in, Gary, Indiana yesterday trying to make the case? And lo and behold, poor little old Gwen Ifill. You know, now that woman needs to be drummed out of the journalism corps, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was a moderator of one of those Romney-Obama debates, if you remember.
Yeah.
And she had just written a book glowingly speaking about Barack Obama. How does that ever happen, right? But no, she's out there moderating. She's all frustrated because the people didn't seem to be appropriately appreciative of the dear and glorious president. And because they knew he was just giving them a line of BS.
Well, if she wrote a glorious book about him, it had to be fiction then. It couldn't be nonfiction and be
the
true. It had to be
Obama
fiction.
Or something, yeah.
I mean, you're right. You know, some people have just so easily catered to him.
We got okey-doked.
Yeah.
Our contestants are not catering to him. Look at their
right.
PC.
That's right.
That's the real Americans.
That's right, exactly. Let's take a break. When we come back, more contest entries, I hope, are on the way. 407-774-8255 is the number. We will have a winner tonight. We got the colonel in here doing, I don't know, what is that, a rain
doing
dance
the chop,
or something?
Man. Football season is getting here.
Danny, listen to that for the last time, buddy. They're going to cut that music out, too. Political correctness.
Let's hold on.
I don't think your fans are going to do that.
They'll take our horse away, our spear away.
I know. Too savage.
Let them try it.
All right. We just have a couple of minutes left in this segment. Real quick, we are still doing our politically incorrect library of street lingo contest, and we've gotten so far lingo like Hillarack. That's, you know, Hillary's got your
right.
back, which means nobody's got your back.
That's pretty good, Hillarack.
So you don't want to get Hillaracked, right?
Yep.
All right. Okie doke, which
right.
means we've been played as fools.
Right.
I like this one too. Illegitizen. Right?
I do. I think our people, you know, that come on the Wednesdays and now Sundays, they're going to love that word.
Illegal citizen.
Wow.
Illegals receiving benefits citizens don't get.
Yeah.
And Al had shut the Trump up.
I know Al saw what it was happening today. You know, Trump. You know.
You stole that from me.
You were going for that one. All right.
Ed, with Clintonians, they just keep coming and thickening, getting more and more, reproducing and freakazoid.
No, his description was so poetic. You know?
There you go. Okay, that's what we're looking for.
That was great.
All right, 407-774-8255 is the number for those contest entries. Colonel McKnight, you were just saying during the break, we went through Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as commander-in-chief prospects. Trump, what about him?
Well, I one thing about him, he's not a politician.
Yeah.
You know, he's become a business guy. And I think what he would do is I think he would make the decision to surround himself with the right people. Because when you know you don't have that experience, which he knows, I think he would really do that. But see, what we've seen happen with Obama and what happened with Hillary is they think they know everything. They think they're it. I don't think Trump would do that when it comes to the military. He does not know the military. He might have some understanding of it, but he doesn't know it. And he, I believe, would put the right person in the Secretary of Defense, okay? And that's a big deal. And it wouldn't be Ash Carter.
Right.
Who's never had a day in his life associated with it besides being, you know, the Assistant Secretary of Defense and counting beans is what he did.
Right.
And he has once again went over the top to hurt the military, in my opinion, by some of the things they have done with the females in the military. Yeah. I love the females in the military. I think they are putting them in jeopardy.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to The American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer, tough guy, ho!
Oh, and away we go with the rest of tonight's show. Thanks for being with us. That is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio we have with us Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army. And tonight we are, it's of course, Thursday night. That's contest night around here these days. And tonight's contest is we're looking for some politically incorrect street lingo that we can put together, a sort of library glossary, if you will, thesaurus.
We've had some good ones, though, Chris.
Oh, I mean, indeed we have. Indeed we have. And we will have a winner before the tonight, before we go off the air tonight. And we have another contestant on the line. Let's get his entry in. Warren, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, I also had an idea for a future contest. You might want to have people put together a meme, you know. Have you seen those out on the internet quite a bit?
You talking about a storyline of sorts?
Yeah, a little storyline with...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, we'll work on that. What you got for us tonight?
Okay, this is more of a phrase than is just one word.
All right.
But I love it, man. Okay. It's either a he or a she, depending on... and it is, he has exceeded all my, he has exceeded all of my expectorant.
Expectorant?
Yeah.
Expectorant.
He has exceeded all of my expectorant, or she has.
And that means?
Well, it's twisting the word expectation.
Oh, I see. All right. She has exceeded all my expectorant. Expectorant.
Expectorant, yeah.
Expectorant. All right, I'm writing
it out. Yeah, it's like the baseball players do before they wind up.
Oh, okay.
Expectorate on the ground.
Warren may be too advanced with us on this one.
Okay. You
know,
this
is, yeah, I know. I get off in these $10 words.
I know, Warren. Yeah. Well, that's because you're at another 20 minutes, Warren, if you want to bring it back to...
That's because you're a mathematician.
That's right.
All right, that's an excellent one, too. Thank you, Warren.
Okay, good night, guys.
All right, appreciate you being out there. All right, and...
Now, Chris, I still like my one Obama-esque. Don't you think that's simple, Danny? You could use that in any cocktail party or anybody in conversation. You know, the definition is lacks major thought, extremely stupid. Okay, so we're in a conversation. Hey, that was an extremely Obama-esque statement. I think the word just slides right in there smooth, feels like it fits into society, and it'll be his legacy. He wants a legacy. We got one for him. Politically correct.
Just rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it?
I know. It just feels
natural. I don't
know. Natural.
I can't get it out because I can't use that word.
Obama-esque.
I can't get it out.
I know.
Doesn't work.
I know. That may affect a lot of people, right?
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Well, you kind of stole my one. I was going to play off.
Now, do you have another one, Chris?
New one. Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Trumped. Okay.
Oh, okay. But, okay, what's it mean? That's the important thing.
It means to get beat and get shamed while you're getting beat. Right?
Right. That's good.
He's been shaming these people as he's been beating up on them, right? It's going to be like Penn State's going to get trumped by FSU.
Why'd you say that? That was pretty nasty.
Thank you, Chris.
A good way. But you know, when football season comes here, we can use that.
There you go.
You know, yesterday, FSU trumped the University of Miami. It was, and people go, what are they talking about?
Hey,
we will know.
Yeah, and you can say it like a defensive lineman beats an offensive lineman. I just trumped you.
You know, there's a place for that word. Put it down. You know, you're in the contest. You know,
there's another part to that, but I don't know.
That was good.
Anyway, all right. So that's...
Trumped. Yeah.
I got this from one of our listeners today, and I thought this was a very, shall we say, pertinent poem. This poem was written by an anonymous Marine Corps officer. The Battling Boys of Benghazi. We're the Battling Boys of Benghazi. No fame, no glory, no paparazzi. Just a fiery death in a blazing hell defending our country we love so well. It wasn't our job, but we answered the call, fought to the consulate and scaled the wall. We pulled 20 countrymen from the jaws of fate, led them to safety, and stood at the gate. Just the two of us and foes by the score, but we stood fast to bar the door. Three calls for reinforcement, but all were denied. So we fought and we fought and we fought till we died. We gave our all for our Uncle Sam, but Barack and Hillary didn't give a damn. Just two dead SEALs who carried the load. No thanks to us. We were just bumps in the road. Colonel? Yeah. Thoughts?
That said it all. It really does. It says every bit of it. Exactly right.
And by the way, the Colonel will be appearing with Chris Tanto-Peronto a couple of times coming up here in the near future. We'll tell you more about these events as they get closer. One will be August the 12th in Daytona Beach. You'll be able to meet Chris Tanto-Peronto, who, if you've seen the movie, 13 Hours,
right.
He's one of the main characters. He was there that night. They went to the consulate. They're the ones who brought the people out. And unfortunately could not save the ambassador. And then they will also be appearing together September the 23rd in Lakeland.
Yep. And I don't know the ticket prices. They're you know, pretty hefty, but they're well worth it.
Better believe it.
One of the things I found, you sort of gave me the opportunity to say this. When I speak, as you know, I speak a lot still. And I speak and I talk about Benghazi. And I will ask people, I say, now, how many people in here have seen the movie about Benghazi called 13 Hours? I am appalled at the number of Americans that have not even seen the movie.
Yeah.
Folks, you need to get off your tails and go see the movie. Now, it'll be coming out on DVD, I think it's the 11th or 12th, something of this month.
You're
it's
right.
coming out.
It's coming up.
Coming out very shortly.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to go to theater, actually, I understand that. Go get the DVD, take it home, put it in your DVD player, and watch what happens. You will come away as angry Americans that anybody that was in a position of authority would let that happen like it did. And they're even, in a way, kind and gentle about that part. Her name is never mentioned, her being the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. It's not mentioned, but people, we know that she was responsible because that was her job. So people need to go see the movie. And if you vote for Hillary after you see that movie, you got a problem, okay?
Oh,
I don't know any other way
that
to put it.
It was a great movie. It was one that brought tears to your eye. I would love to see the college kids see this movie and then see how much they're for Bernie.
Yeah,
or,
see,
I assume that just they won't vote for Hillary.
But. See, I, as you know, Chris, we've talked about it. I don't go to the theater to see movies. That's just not me. I did not see Lone Survivor in the theater. I waited till it was on DVD. I didn't see American Sniper in the movie. I waited till it was Unbroken, etc. I did Benghazi 13 Hours because Chris Peronto and I are good friends, and I owed it to him to go. About halfway through, Linda will verify this, my wife, that I told her I got to go to the restroom. I can't wait any longer. My stepdaughter said to Linda, where's he going? Well, he said he's going to the restroom. Going to the restroom? No, he'll be standing over there on the wall. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't have people around me. People need to, out of respect for Chris Peronto and those other guys that fought their butts off, and Chris was shot like 6 times. People don't even know this stuff. They need to see this and then put in perspective what we would have if we had Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. We would have no president. She would be as bad or worse than what we have today. That's what I think.
Yeah, but if it were up to me, you would be required to see that movie before you would be allowed to vote.
Yeah. No, it would be nice to see him showing into high schools and just educate these kids about the real world. Don't worry about your safe space, son.
Yeah. All Americans need to see this movie. Cindy is up next with a contest entry. Cindy, thank you so much for calling tonight.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I just tuned in because I only kept the last half hour, so somebody may have said this already.
Okay.
But my contest entry is lie like a Clinton.
Lie like a Clinton.
Has anyone said that yet?
Nope.
Okay, good. So to lie like a Clinton is not your garden variety lie, like checks in the mail or something like that.
Okay.
It's I see what she's getting across.
It's an extremely outrageous lie that can be proven to be a lie very quickly, but you keep telling it over and over.
So that would be someone who lies like a Clinton. They are really telling a whopper.
Yeah, I mean,
telling a whopper, and they keep telling it even after everyone knows that it's not true.
Oh, okay, I see. What it's like a compulsive liar, right? Who tells this whopper?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Good phrase at a cocktail party. You know that lady over there? She just lies like a Clinton.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen her a lot. You know, oh yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's how you would use that.
Yeah, when I went to Miami-Dade Community College for about a year, and there was a guy there. We called him the Duke. Because he told some whoppers himself, right? I mean, these were big lies. So I like that. That's
there you
excellent.
Go.
You know, you lie like a Clinton means you tell these big bad lies.
Very
and they
prolific.
Over,
one story after another, and there's no truth.
I like
that's
that. You know, that's what she's
no
doing.
Truth, and you keep doing it even after people know that you're
I know.
Lying,
that's the worst part about it, right?
Which is what she's doing.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what Hillary is doing.
That's exactly what
it is.
It's almost like a disease, I think.
Yeah.
I think
you know, the one
is.
Thing about
mental
that,
disease.
Cindy, though, is lie like a Clinton. There's nobody that can lie like a Clinton.
Well, that's true.
They are the epitome of what lying is all about.
I mean, because
Bill didn't have sex. Remember that? He didn't have sex with anybody, Bill didn't. No, he lied about that, too.
Not that woman, anyway. Right?
And see, originally, you know, I wanted to just, you know, pick on Hillary, but...
you opened a can of worms, then.
The first thing that popped into my head was I did not have sex with that young lady. So I was like, no, it has to be both of them.
You're right.
So.
You're right.
It is. You're exactly right, Cindy. You're right on the money.
If they have anything in common, that's what it is.
I like a click.
Exactly. Maybe that's what keeps them together.
I think you're right. All right. Very good. Very good.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
These are ingenious. These are all ingenious.
But I wonder if each one of them lies to each other. And then they're both confused all the time. Now, what
they
actually
know
did
what
you do
you.
The other night? Because I know you're lying. Is that the third lie or the fourth lie?
Right. This is how they got so good, you see. At
that's
night,
practice, I'm
at
sure,
night,
all the
that's
time.
That's right. They would sit at the dining room table after dinner telling each other lies, and then the other one had to figure out if it really was a lie and how
that's
big
what
of
I'm
a
saying.
Lie, right?
Can you imagine? Bill Clinton, I'm at Fantasy Island. No, Bill, you're in Baltimore. Oh, that's right.
All right. James is up next. Excuse me, James. Thank you for calling.
That was real good by Cindy.
Very.
Hey, Chris, good evening.
Howdy.
Good evening. We all know that our illustrious president is not a very warm and outgoing guy.
Nope.
He is not gregarious. He likes to spend time by himself. Some people would call that aloof or cold.
Very.
And I've already called in previously and said that, in my opinion, he's racist. So he's obviously black.
Yeah.
And... you know, y'all have already mentioned how he works out with the 2-pound barbells.
Oh, James, what an embarrassment to manhood.
The dancing queen. That's
the
one.
Dancing queen.
So, the other day I went in and ordered a cup of coffee and asked for it to have cream and sugar in it. The server brought me a cup of coffee with cover on it. I took a sip and I almost spit it out and I said, take this back. This is Obama coffee. And they said, Obama coffee? What do you mean by Obama coffee? And I said, it's cold, it's black, and it's weak. That's Obama coffee.
You're a Starbucks.
That's my entry for today.
Yeah. Right.
Starbucks, James. You could take that over to Starbucks and make some bucks.
Obama coffee. That's
right.
Another
cold,
ingenious
it's
one.
Weak. Oh, boy.
Right. Thank you, James.
All right.
You're in, my man. That's what we're looking for. Obama
I'm going to use that in the airport. Yeah. You know how we go to the coffee place? Give me an Obama. What's that? That was very good, James.
Oh, lie like a Clinton. That's another good one, too.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we got time for a couple more, so if you want to get in on the contest, 407-774-8255 is the number. We've been talking during the show tonight with Colonel McKnight about who would be qualified to be commander-in-chief. Going into the break, you talked about how Trump would be qualified in the sense that he knows that he's lacking in that department. And he said repeatedly there's got to be a MacArthur or a Patton or somebody out there in the military that could basically run the military. In other words, make the military decisions and come up with the military options to present him with that are viable options, workable options, options that make sense.
I think we've had the opportunity for some great ones to do that during the last 7 years. The problem they've had is they're not allowed to do it.
Right.
They get sort of shut down. General Dempsey, and you've heard him say this before, who was an Army guy, I thought he was one of the worst chairmen of the Joint Chiefs I've ever seen. And he wears an Army uniform.
Right.
I like what I see now in the current one, General Dunford, Marines. He's being a little more difficult to deal with for Obama, but Obama's not going to worry about it because he's going to leave in 5 or 6 months, so he don't care.
Yeah.
So I believe that Trump would say, I want somebody that's going to lead the military, and they are out there. They are out there, I promise you.
All right.
So I think that can happen. I mean, I look at the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army today, General Dan Allen. I brought Dan Allen into the Ranger Regiment when I was there, and Joe Botel, he's a four-star general, and he's a CENTCOM commander. We've got them out there, but we've got to let them do the job and let them run the military. Can't let politicians do it because it is destructive, and we have seen that now in 7 years.
All right. One last name I want to get your opinion of because I've brought him up as a possibility. There's a Wall Street Journal article that came out the other day that talks about it. This is a distinct possibility. Joe Biden.
Well, I actually thought that Joe Biden would run for president. I was sort of really bothered when he decided not to because I thought Hillary would not have a chance to beat Joe Biden. And I believe if he chose right now to turn it on because he says everything's such an awful situation with the Democrats, that I think he could become the president. I believe that Joe Biden also is a person that is not stupid. He's not arrogant, and I believe he would therefore find a way to let the right people make the military decisions. And that's what you got to be. It's not about your ego, and that's what Obama has, is a gigantic ego. He's arrogant, he's an idiot, and he has no experience. He had no experience when he became president. He has done nothing in 7 years to improve his experience. I believe Joe Biden would have been a very viable candidate for the Democrats. And if he did choose to do it and became president, I would have no problem with that. I think he would make the right decision.
He'd be a whole lot better than Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. Though. Well, yeah. My dog catcher would be better than that. So.
Danny, this just doesn't sound like a love triangle between you, Hillary, and
thank
Guess
God.
What? You're right.
Oh,
thank God.
God.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And it's just about time to pick a winner. So if you have a contest entry, please call right now.
Explain to Linda why you're not going.
Everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true art.
Perfect, perfect, ever true to you, dear old white and blue. Onward stay, roar, lions, roar. Hit that line, roll up the score for victory forevermore. Fight on. See that, Chris? How many people can sing some of their own songs, right?
All I say is go Noles.
Now I know why Paterno put you on the defensive line.
Hey, Nick, you're at the top of my ladder, buddy.
Okay, just a couple of quick updates before we go to picking our contest winner. If you're not on the line right now, I believe we're going to have to go ahead and pick the winner. By the way, we have been watching. There is more bad news when it considers the military today. There's been two F-16 crashes out of our elite flying squads. A Blue Angels jet crashed. This was at a flyover, at a ceremony at the Air Force Academy where Barack Obama was at giving a speech today, and a commencement speech. And then also in Tennessee, a Air Force Thunderbird F-16 crashed.
Blue Angel.
Yeah. Blue Angels.
The other way. Back. Yeah.
Okay. Blue Angels in Nashville and the Thunderbirds.
Air Force Thunderbird. Okay, yep. That makes more sense. Yep. The Air Force Thunderbirds at Air Force Academy. Okay. Yep. Nonetheless, one person was killed. We don't know if it was one of the pilots or someone on the ground. And then we just found this out, and this is coming out of Fort Hood, Texas. Mike?
Yeah. Again, there was three fellas killed in Fort Hood. Their truck overturned, six injured, and... you know, it's right because of primarily they were crossing a stream, I guess, and the truck overturned and looks like they drowned.
Wow.
Terrible.
Bad day for the military. Please, once again, keep all of our military personnel, in particular these military personnel and their families, in your prayers. We really do appreciate them ever so much. Also in political news, Paul Ryan finally got off. He made a commitment.
He stepped forward like he should. Right. Man up, Paul.
Yeah, he endorsed Donald Trump today at his weekly news conference. So Paul Ryan is now officially on the Trump train, as it were. Okay, I tell you what, we need to come up with a winner. In the meantime, Nick, can you give us the final results of our poll question today, and we'll figure out who our winner is of our contest.
All right, let me pull up the poll question. We asked you today, are you going to attend a preseason game? Would you like to attend a preseason game at the Camping World Stadium, former Citrus Bowl there in downtown Orlando? We had a few options for people to choose from. The top response in our audience, at least, was no, not really interested in going to a pro football game.
What pre-season. Did I say?
Pro preseason
well,
game.
Preseason.
Right, yeah. Right. Pro,
but, and that's why they don't want to go.
So these people maybe want to go to a... Well, there, you did have the option of picking only if it's a regular season game. Only 16% of people chose that option. So I think the 66% of people aren't interested in pro football. Now, like you, Chris, maybe they're interested in college football.
Yeah, we'll have to do a question maybe next week. Would you like college football?
And 16% responded only if my favorite team was playing.
All right, who'd you like out of their contest? Test entries.
You know, I liked our first John. Do you have? I checked, put a check mark next to John.
The illegitizen.
Yes.
That was a good one. Mike?
John again, Pud.
Ah, what about you?
Illegitizen.
Oh, wow.
John is sweeping this thing.
See,
this is insane.
I like the Clintonians.
No, that was good. But John was pretty hit, too, really. Pud and illegitizen.
I thought about the Clintonian thing, but I can't vote for anything associated with them.
He doesn't want the name around.
Can't do it.
It might be misinterpreted.
I'll tell you what. John will get the full bore contest prize.
Yep.
We'll send, Ed. We'll send him a gift certificate to Cafe Positano as a runner-up prize. How about that? So we'll have a first and second prize today.
And there's two winners.
All right.
That's great.
That's right. Okay. All right. Excellent work, folks. We really appreciate all the contest entries and all the thought that you put into them. And we'll start that to volume one. Streets of Mogadishu. It's a must-have book. And you can get it by going to DannyMcKnight.com, and he will autograph that for you. Or if you want him to personalize it as a gift for someone else, he'll be happy to do that. Colonel, once again, thank you very, very much for being a part of the American Adversaries.
Absolutely love being a part of it. Wish I could do it every day with you guys. And I try to do more. I've got it up to two almost every month now.
Yep.
So I'll keep working at it.
All right. And, of course, you can also see him. He appears on Fox Business Channel and News Channel. So you can catch him there as well. All right, Mike, what are you going to come up with next?
Well, we'll come up with something, but now I know Danny is not a pro football fan, which he's smart.
That means he's a real man. All right, night, everybody.
FM 105.5 at AM 660, The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.